Tom, I always love talking about, to you about politics, and today we talk about, I guess, what we could call the Sunday afternoon surprise, in a way, the decision of Senator Tillis not to seek re-election. Was it a surprise?
Yes and no. I think Tillis had been just worn out by having to confirm a number of people who were just not legitimate candidates for cabinet posts in the Trump administration. And if you remember, he threatened to vote against one of them, but finally coalesced and did so.
I think it was Hegseth. Yeah.
But I think he also had reservations about others. Tom Tillis, I think, should be commended. His message was he wanted to do his job, not keep his job. And to do so, he had to vote against the authorizing proposal for this big, beautiful bill, which is frankly anything but. And when Trump threatened to primary him, he said, "That's enough. I quit." So I think that he just grew tired of the intimidation and the threats and all of that. And he is definitely going to be a no vote. He's going to be one of two no votes for sure. They can't stand but three or four in the Senate to pass this bill. And they were up all night last night trying to get it done.
I noticed that J.D. Vance had arrived at the Capitol just in case of a tie vote, too.
Yeah, well, it wasn't even close to a tie vote.
Yeah. Well, you know, you look at that time, you know, you've got several of those Republican senators who are never locks. So, you know, you think of Murkowski and Collins and Rand Paul. They're never a lock to support the administration.
No, and this is a bad bill. I mean, that's all there is to it. So what we're really going to see is just how much Trump can intimidate and browbeat and threaten the Republican senators. And so far, he's been able to do it, and it'll be interesting to see in the next couple of days whether or not he's successful in doing this. But I think this whole thing, in the process of doing all this, I think Trump inadvertently has paved the way for North Carolina to have a Democrat in the U.S. Senate in 2027.
Do you think the man who is the biggest winner in all of this may be Roy Cooper?
I don't think there's any question about it. Roy Cooper is not a huge risk taker. When he says he's going to run for an office, it's because he thinks there's a pretty clear opportunity for him to be able to do it. And he said he was going to make his announcement this summer. Well, guess what? We're in the summer. And with Tillis's bowing out, I think this pays the way. Wiley Nickel is a nice guy, but he can't win this Senate race. And so under the circumstances, I think that the way has been paved for Cooper to run. Now, the question becomes, who is going to run on the Republican side against him? Trump, I think, will follow through and will pick a candidate to run. The thinking right this minute is going to be Lara Trump, his daughter-in-law, down in Wilmington, who might run. But she's passed up two other opportunities to run for the Senate, so who knows? But I think she's probably the most likely candidate and would probably get Trump's blessing.
I would think so.
She decided.
Yeah, it was interesting. Before we started hearing her name so much, just about all of the incumbent North Carolina Republican congressmen had seen their names mentioned, along with former congressman, the guy who lost the race for attorney general, Dan Bishop.
Yeah, and I mean, Mark Robinson's name has been touted, but Robinson is yesterday's news. I don't think he knows it yet, but he is just yesterday's news, and so he doesn't stand a chance of winning that seat.
I would have grave doubts that Mark Robinson could win a Republican primary after the performance in the race for governor last year.
Well, and it's all going to boil down to who Trump picks, and this is going to be an interesting selection process in the 15 months left before this election next November of 26, Trump needs to pick someone who has some gravitas in North Carolina. And his best shot at keeping the seat And by the way, in keeping the seat, keeping the U.S. Senate, was Tom Tillis. So he just set his best hope on fire. I think that this is an important race because of the fact that the Republicans can't afford to lose but three or four seats and lose control of the Senate. Now, if they lose control of the Senate, Trump's last 2 years are going to be just disastrous.
Particularly if at the same time, if you followed the off-year election trends of the out-of-office party
right.
doing well in the House at the same time, too.
Yeah, the party that's not in power in the White House usually does better in the off-year election.
Yeah, Tom, I was thinking also about the fact that, in a sense, this has got to be a sigh of relief for Tom Tillis because, really, the president doesn't have any hammer over him anymore for the next year and a
right.
half while he's still in
right.
office.
Right, that's exactly right. And I forget the name of the other senator who's also said he wasn't going to run again, so he's got 15 months of grace to do as best he can. You know, you and I watched Tom Tillis when he was Speaker of the House here in North Carolina. He was very adept at being able to run the House. He's a pretty adept politician. He was in a bad position, and there was always a question about whether he was going to choose to run again or not and go through all of this. It's going to be a terribly expensive race, and it's probably going to be pretty brutal.
Do you think this could be like the race that you and I remember so well, Hunt and Helms? Yes.
Hunt Helms in 84, baby. We could be going back to that.
Yeah, well, you and I were sort of covering that election together because you were here with Total Radio Network back then.
That's right. That was an exciting race. However, I don't know that I've ever told anybody this on the air, but about 4 or 5 days before the election, Hunt's daughter was in the Needham Broughton band, as was our son. And so we went to a band competition in Snow Hill together, and Jim and Carolyn Hunt came in and sat behind us, and I asked him, I said, Governor, what do you think about the outcome of the election? He says, we've lost it. His polling had told him that he led in the polling for so long, and his polling told him that it was gone.
And it was accurate then.
It was totally accurate. It was a brutal campaign, though. The Democratic Party never got itself together after that really horrible primary they had in 84. What was it, 7 or 8 candidates that
yeah.
were running there in the primary? And they never healed and came together, and they paid a price for it. But this is going to the Tillis race was going to be a brutal race anyway. And so I think that was probably the reluctance that Roy Cooper might have had was, just how badly do you want to get back in it? I think we're going to see an announcement from him, and I think it won't be long.
Yeah, I would not be surprised to see it even this week, as a matter of fact.
Maybe after the 4th, maybe sometime in late July, early August. But he's going to need the 14 months or so in order to be able to raise the money and put together a campaign. But the Cooper people are still there. They're all harnessed up, and they'll tell you they're eager to see this race.
Do you think that if he declares that Wiley Nickel would drop out?
I'm not sure. It's all going to depend on whether Wiley's money dries up or not, and I would predict that. This is all about money now, and so if his money really dries up and he doesn't have really good sources for money. But this is going to be a national race. You can count on the fact that the DCCC in Washington is going to be raising huge sums of money to pour into North Carolina for whoever the Democratic candidate is.
Well, it's going to be a fascinating year and a half that we're going to be watching this. And, Tom, I'm looking forward to talking to you about it a number of times between now and then.
I wish we could put our old election returns program back on the air.
You know, Tom,
we did a great job.
Speaking of that, I remember I was going through some stuff, and I found a notebook that Dave
yeah.
Bolick Sr., who was our news director back in 84, had put together for that election for the primary. That was fantastic.
Let me tell you, I don't think anybody in North Carolina ever covered an election any better than we did back in, I'm bragging, but back in 84, I mean, we had it all covered from the presidency all the way down to the legislature.
I tell you, it's one of my fond memories of all these years was what we did that year.
It was fun.
And you were the boss, so you were responsible for a lot of it.
Well, listen, I wasn't. I was responsible for putting the people in place. Y'all did the job.
Well, thank you,
sir. I'll take the credit, though.
Yeah.
We'll
give you the credit, Tom. Tom, we'll talk to you again soon. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Tony.